Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. All of our programming is available at those locations, and if you can't catch us live, of course, the podcasts are a nice way to keep up with KPCG programming when you've got a moment to listen. There's a lot happening in the world today, a lot of prophetic events, and if you keep up with thetrumpet.com and the Trumpet magazine, then no doubt you understand where things are going and how things are moving very quickly. There's a lot of prophecy that has been fulfilled in recent years, and some major prophecies that have occurred that we also need to keep in mind that happened a while ago and were fulfilled, but they're so critically important. And one of the major signs when we look at Christ's return and the prophetic events leading up to his return, one of the major signs of Christ's return is the end of the Philadelphia era of God's church. If you're familiar with God's church eras, there are seven church eras, and the Laodicean era is the final era before Christ's return, and that's the era that we live in today. So there was a time, though, where there was the Philadelphia era, that was the sixth era, and it came to an end, and that was a major sign that we were getting close to Christ's return, because the Laodicean era is the final era of God's church before Christ returns to this earth. Christ gave this sign. He said this would be a sign that we were getting close to his return, and he gave this sign in Matthew 24 in verse 14. So if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out. We could look at some of these passages together. Notice Matthew 24 in verse 14. And again in Matthew 24 there in the Olivet prophecy, Christ's disciples were asking him what signs to look for before his second coming and the end of the age. And Christ gave them a list of signs. Matthew 24 and verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So this gospel message, the good news, again, the gospel is the good news of the coming kingdom of God that will rule all nations. That gospel message was preached by Herbert W. Armstrong. He preached that message, and as Christ said, it was a witness unto all nations. Not everyone that heard it began to follow God, but it was a witness. And of course, many people did come and support that work. But Mr. Armstrong began on radio in the United States in 1934, and by the time of his death in 1986, Mr. Armstrong produced the World Tomorrow television program. And by the 1980s, the mid-80s, that was the most widely viewed religious program in the U.S. It was watched by multiple millions of people worldwide. Maybe you even watched that, or somebody you know. Many people watched him and listened to him, to Mr. Armstrong, on the radio and television. His flagship magazine, The Plain Truth, had a peak international circulation of over 8 million. And it was read by about 25 million people each month. Mr. Armstrong was also founder and president of Ambassador College, and that taught the students that went there not only how to earn a living, but how to live, how to really put God's way of life into practice. The Ambassador International Cultural Foundation was the philanthropic arm of his achievements, and there was much that was done there to really help people, help different people in different nations around this earth. And again, it was putting God's way of life in action. The fruits of Mr. Armstrong's life and work prove that God used him in leading the Philadelphia era of God's church. I mean, look at his works. Christ said that too when people questioned him. He said, well, look at the works. Look at the works. And Mr. Armstrong's very much powerfully used by God to again fulfill that prophecy in Matthew 24 and verse 14. The gospel of the kingdom was preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Mr. Armstrong was able to get God's message into nations that usually wouldn't allow any sort of Christianity, and including China. But he was able to get God's message there, at least in certain ways. And Christ said now that after that gospel was preached in all the world for a witness, an end would come. He said the end would come. What did he mean by that? Well, again, there was still another church era to come. So we have to understand what end he was talking about here. And this is from the Herbert W. Armstrong College of Bible Correspondence course. It's a free course at thetrumpet.com. And if you don't have it, please sign up for it. It's a great course to have and to study. The course says the word end used in verse 14 is not the same word in the original inspired Greek as the word end used in verse 3. In verse 3, the disciples ask Christ about the end, and the Greek spelling there is S-U-N-T-E-L-E-I-A, meaning the entire completion or consummation of the age. In verse 14, the word translated as end is the Greek word telos, T-E-L-O-S, which can mean the termination or limit at which something ceases to be, or that by which a thing is finished, its close. And Thayer's lexicon states that what end is intended, the reader must determine by context. So we read the word end in English, but it's a different word depending on how it's used. There's a different context, and a different Greek word is used in different places in the New Testament. And so here, end, as it says in verse 14, it's a different end. It's telos, and that means the termination or limit at which something ceases to be, or that by which a thing is finished or its close. And so this is talking about the end of a church era. The end would come, the end of a church era. And then we're in the final era of God's church. And of course, that era ends with the return of Jesus Christ. And we can look at a few other passages to see what else would happen in the end of the Philadelphian era. Again, we have to look at context. So what else do we know that would happen at the end of the Philadelphian era? Notice 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3. Something happened. Something happened within God's church. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come," it says, "except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, after the death of Mr. Armstrong, God's church fell away from God's truth. They fell away from it, and they became lukewarm spiritually. The church of God had entered the Laodicean era. The Laodicean era is the final church era before Christ returns. That's what Christ was referring to in Matthew 24, in verse 14. The gospel would be preached around the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come, the end of the Philadelphian era. And the end of it was marked by the death of Mr. Armstrong, and then this falling away from the truth, this rebellion, and it was led by the leadership of that church after Mr. Armstrong died. That's what Christ was talking about, and then we read in 2 Thessalonians 2 about a falling away. And it says again in verse 3, look, don't be deceived. That day, the return of Christ, is not going to come until there is a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. God's people, many of them would fall away from his truth, and a leader that is referred to here as that man of sin be revealed. He would be revealed, the son of perdition, leading people away from God's truth. The correspondence course says the Greek word translated as falling away is apostasia, A-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-A. It means apostasy or defection from truth. It is translated as the Great Revolt in the Williams translation and as the final rebellion against God in the New English Bible. That day, the return of Christ cannot come until this falling away from God's truth has occurred. This has now come to pass. It happened after the death of Herbert W. Armstrong in 1986, and that signaled the end of an era, which Christ prophesied in Matthew 24 and verse 14. So we have to understand some of these pivotal prophecies to understand where we are today and how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ. We're in this final era of God's church, the Laodicean era. And at the end of that era, Christ does return. And some of us lived through this great falling away. I did. And I witnessed firsthand how many of God's people who had supported his work quickly rebelled against God after Mr. Armstrong's death. They quickly rebelled. And during this falling away time period, the church was being measured. And the church continues to be measured. Those in God's church are being measured. But that church era was being measured. Who loved God's truth and who simply knew God's truth? There's a difference between knowing something and actually loving it and living by it. The great falling away revealed that most of God's people did not love his truth. They didn't have the faith to walk according to God's word. And many people turned away. Now, Daniel also prophesied of this apostasy. Right before the return of Christ, he prophesied as well. There's many passages that you can look at in the Bible that talk about this time period. Notice Daniel 12 and verse 4. It says, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end." So at this time that we're in now, these prophecies would be understood. And God reveals them through apostles and prophets. And then it says, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." The course points out, the Moffat has a better translation of this verse. It should read, "Crisis at the end." Crisis at the end. So it could read, "Keep the book shut as a secret till the crisis at the end. Ere then many shall give way, and trouble shall be multiplied on earth." The phrase "many shall give way" refers to an apostasy by the people of God's own church. And you can see the Companion Bible. And so as we read 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3, this crisis at the end exposes the man of sin, the son of perdition. There's a false leader within God's Laodicean church. And while Mr. Armstrong was alive, that rebellion was hidden. People didn't know that it was there. It was under the surface. It was kept at bay. But then when Mr. Armstrong died, well, the leadership and the people following, they rebelled against what God had taught and what he had revealed through Mr. Armstrong. The correspondence course, talking about this false leader within God's Laodicean church, says this man is someone who betrays God. The only other time the phrase "son of perdition" is used in the Bible is in John 17 and verse 12, where it speaks of Judas Iscariot, the disciple who betrayed Christ. After Mr. Armstrong's death, God's true church suffered through a monstrous betrayal by those who succeeded him. And they acted like, well, it wasn't a big deal to change. They said, well, we're just changing away from what a man taught. Once they finally admitted it, of course, it was lied about for quite some time. But they're not changing away from what a man taught. They're changing away from what Christ taught. Because it was all from the Bible. It was revealed. Revealed knowledge that opened up the Bible and the understanding of the Bible and what the prophecies of the Bible meant. And that's what they turned from. The betrayal was against Christ. They could look at it like, well, it was just a changing from one leadership to another, or changing the way things were taught, changing what a man taught, but really they were turning away from what Christ taught. That's where the betrayal is. And it's a monstrous betrayal. Now notice how this man of sin acts, how he behaves. This is in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. It says, "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So he imposes his way, his own way, his own opinion, his own thought, and he rejects God's way, all within God's Laodicean church. He acts like he is God. He doesn't say he is God, of course. He doesn't walk around and talk that way necessarily, specifically. But he puts his will and his thinking above what God teaches in his word. He rejects God's law and government, and he forces people to follow him in rebelling against God. Now, people could choose to not follow, but he is enforcing it, that if they stay with his group, they're going to go the wrong direction, and they're going to rebel against what God taught. But, of course, God has a remnant today that does obey him and does his work in this Laodicean era. We are in the Laodicean church era, but God does have a remnant that is still doing his work. There is a work to be done. There are prophecies being fulfilled at a rapid pace, and they need to be talked about, and that understanding has to be given through God's apostle. Notice Revelation 10 and verse 6. This time period that we're in, it says, "And it swear by him," breaking into the thought here, "that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." So at this Laodicean era, the beginning of this era and the end of the Philadelphia era, time speeds up. There's time no longer. There's not going to be any more delay. Christ's return is coming quickly, and events leading to his return are being fulfilled quickly. Verse 11 says, "And he said unto me, You must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." There is a work to be done. There is a work to be done. This is a commission given to God's apostle in this Laodicean era, and of course his church supports. God's true church supports his apostle in getting this job done, prophesying again, because the prophecies have gone out once, and they're going out again, and now with even more detail as we get closer to the return of Christ. The correspondence course says the words "time no longer" are better translated "delay no longer." After the great apostasy and a temporary delay, God's church transitioned into its final phase to prophesy again. This time, there will be no more delaying God's work. And so God's work continues, and it continues to move quickly. It says the World Tomorrow program is now the Key of David program. The Plain Truth has been replaced by the Philadelphia Trumpet and thetrumpet.com. Ambassador College is now Herbert W. Armstrong College. And Ambassador Foundation is now the Armstrong International Cultural Foundation. There was a great falling away. There was rebellion against God. Christ said that that would happen. He prophesied of it. We are in the final era of God's church, the Laodicean era, marked by people being lukewarm spiritually. But God continues his work through a small remnant today. Notice this from the correspondence course. It says, "Note the context of the command to prophesy again in Revelation 10 and verse 11. In Revelation 11, so as you continue reading into the next chapter, it says, "This work of the Philadelphia Church of God immediately precedes the work of the two witnesses during the Great Tribulation," Revelation 11, verses 2 through 3, "and the return of Jesus Christ," in verse 15. So that's a great reminder of where we are in prophecy. We are in the Laodicean era of God's church. Christ said in Matthew 24 and verse 14 that that would be a major sign of his coming. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And that end, of course, was the end of an era. It was the end of the Philadelphia era of God's church, and now we are in the Laodicean era, and we have been for about 30 years. And God's work has been moving forward during this time, warning the Laodicean church, warning this world, continuing to get God's message out, and that continues today. And all of this is leading to the return of Jesus Christ, and we're getting very close to that time now. It's important to have this overview of prophecy, to know where we are within God's church eras. We're in the seventh and final era, and this era ends with the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. There will not be another era. This is the final one. And that should give us some great comfort and great hope as we look at the flow of Bible prophecy and what's happening in this world. We know we're getting very close to the return of Jesus Christ. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.